Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking around them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians to put Jesus to death. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings and feast teach us an awful lot about a virtue that is more urgent today than at many other times in church history, which is the virtue of courage. Saul, king of the Lord's army, was afraid. All his troops, despite all that God had done for the Israelites in the desert, had forgotten those lessons, and they were all afraid. For 40 straight days, Goliath of Gad, 6'9", with a javelin with a head with 15 pounds just on the head, with a bronze sword, a bronze shield, armor weighing 125 pounds, would growl before them, asking for one courageous Israelite to step forward and battle him face to face, or in his case, face to waist, and settle it so that no other blood needed to be shed. For 39 straight days, no one, not Saul nor any of his soldiers, would step up. On that 40th day, a young ruddy shepherd was bringing food to his brothers in Saul's army. He heard that challenge, and he went up to Saul and said, "I will fight him. I'm at your service to go and fight this Philistine." Saul knew that the request was ridiculous because he was eaten alive by his fear. Saul, as we'll see later, was paranoid. "You can't go up against this Philistine and fight with him. You're only a boy. He's been a warrior since his youth." But then David gave Saul a fraternal correction. "The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear will also keep me safe from this Philistine's clutches." David had prayerfully drawn the lesson that it wasn't just a coincidence that he'd met a bear and a lion and the Lord had saved his life. He took that as a message that the Lord was with him since that time of Samuel's anointing. So he wasn't confident in his own prowess, but he was totally confident in what the Lord could do and would do. So with 5 smooth stones from the wadi, he went on out. It's an extraordinary dialogue. The vanity of the Philistine comes to the fore. He wants to fight the Hector of the opposite army if he's Achilles. He doesn't want to fight this little boy who's not even armed. Threatens him, talking trash. Come here to me and I'll leave your flesh for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David shows the weakness of Goliath. You come against me with sword and spear and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have insulted. Today the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. So the fight ensued. The stone found its place. Goliath dropped. And David used the heavy sword of Goliath, which probably weighed nearly as much as he did, to cut off his head. Courage. When the Lord is on our side, no enemy is too strong or ferocious. If the woman behind me can step on the head of the serpent, why should we be afraid? Today's gospel, we see a similar courage in Jesus. We don't often ponder enough Jesus' courage. Perhaps we do so on Good Friday as he continues to get up along the way of the cross, as he continues to take it, as he continues to show just how strong he is by his forbearance, because all his power is being shown lifted up on Calvary. Here we see his great courage. On the Sabbath, he walks into the synagogue. He knew that the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would cure. It was a total setup. Maybe they had brought the man with the withered hand there. Jesus, knowing their hearts, said to the man, "Come up here before us." And then he asked that question. Is it lawful to do good and to save life? You who are trying on the Sabbath to plot to kill an innocent man and destroy life, as if that ain't violating the Sabbath, is it lawful to do good and to save? The word translated withered doesn't mean sort of a lame hand from birth. It means he had lost it somehow, as if he were a mason and his hand were now damaged and broken. He was trying to restore him fully to life. They remained silent because there was no way they could answer that question. And Jesus was filled with anger and grief at their hardness of heart. They just weren't going to allow God's grace to penetrate even there. To just say honestly, of course it's lawful to do good. How could the Lord want his children, for example, to starve on the Sabbath? Wouldn't he have impatience to restore them to life and to save them? As Jesus would say elsewhere, if one of their animals had fallen into a ditch that saved them, how much more would the Father save his own son? So he worked the miracle, and they went out, and they began to plot with their archenemies, the laxest Herodians, to put Jesus to death. The courage of Jesus, the courage of the Incarnation, the strength of Jesus, even allowing his own creatures to strike him down and to plot to kill him. That's the courage he wishes to give us as we unite ourselves to him. Third example of courage, St. Anthony of the Desert. At 18, after his parents had died, he began to ponder, as you remember, the lives of the apostles and how they had left everything to follow the Lord. He went into church that day, and the gospel was the rich young man. And he heard those words, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll be rich in heaven, and then come follow me." And that isn't an easy challenge. We know the rich young man who had kept the Lord's commandments perfectly from his youth. He was on the path of heaven. Didn't have the courage to trust God all the way. He wanted the insurance plan of his material goods. But Anthony then responded with alacrity and with audacity and sold almost all that he had and distributed his lands, 300 acres and everything else to the people around. Kept a little bit for his sister. But on the following day when he returned and the word was, don't worry about tomorrow, don't be anxious about it, he gave even the last that he had away and made sure that his sister would be taken care of. And then he went into the desert for the next 86 years until he died at 104 to battle, as St. Athanasius wrote in his famous biography, against the devil every single day, that he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to be alone because he knew he was never alone because the Lord was with him. An extraordinary example of courage. We see three essential traits, then, in the readings and the feast that give rise to courage. The first is faith. The faith of David, who knew that the Lord would be with him. The faith of Anthony, who lived by faith and courageously recognized that God had already defeated the devil, he could do it again, and that God would be his great strength. Second source of courage is love. Jesus loved this man with the withered hand, and he was willing to take risks for him. And then third, and I always think this is extraordinary fuel in courageously fighting against the injustices we see, is righteous indignation. Jesus was angry, filled with grief at their hardness of heart, angry at the way that they would treat this man with a withered hand. And Jesus worked. Sometimes it is that holy anger against the abuses that we see people suffer that lead us with charity and faith finally to act. Pope Francis, 4 years ago on this day, gave an image, as he's sometimes accustomed to do, which I've always found very helpful. When he looked at David and his courage, and then at the battles and the Goliaths that we have to face, he said, what are our 5 stones in the sack? What are our weapons? He said, the first stone is prayer. That because we can pray to the Lord, we should have courage going into any fight. Second stone, he said, was God's mercy. That we can always be right with him, and if we're right with him, we're unafraid, even should we be threatened by death. Third was the Word of God, a double-edged sword that's got enormous power. Fourth, he said, was the Holy Eucharist, that when we are in communion with the Lord, we've got nothing to fear. Because even if they strike us down, we know what the Lord can do on the third day, and we receive his risen life each morn. And fifth, he said, the communion of the saints, the church, that we are in, not just an intentional communion, we're in an actual communion with all the martyrs, with all the holy virgins, with all those confessors who are tortured for the faith, with this long litany of apostolic parousia boldness. So he said, no matter where we go, no matter what fight there is, we need to remember that God has equipped us with those 5 stones, so we shouldn't be intimidated. We prayed in the responsorial psalm today, blessed be the Lord, my rock. We praised him for training our hands for battle and our fingers for war. He is the one who equips us in prayer to be able to go out and do his work. We called him our refuge, our fortress, our stronghold, our deliverer, our shield. Let the Goliaths of the day dress themselves with armor. We go out into battle today with the armor of God, even on the inside.